All right, offices of China Hall on a Friday night. I am here with the man himself, the guy behind the chips. I've been eating these chips all night. They're hot, man. The spicy dip, this stuff is spicy.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's Minnesota spicy.
See, I'm Minnesota weak. Like, I can't handle it.
Well, we got some hotter stuff, too. You know, you can add a little habanero sauce in there as well, spice it up.
I saw that stuff sitting there, like, right at the front counter, the little containers, the green. People ever mistake it for guacamole?
Well, the green is tomatillo sauce. So there's a mild tomatillo, then there's the medium, which you have right there, then there's a hot tomatillo sauce, and then we have the habanero, which is the real hot stuff, which I didn't put out at first because I was afraid they were going to think it was cheese. It's kind of an orangish color.
Yeah.
But I've also had to I've got kind of a following on that, being people come in and just love the habanero. Is real. I mean, they're all good, but the habanero, that people that are into hot really like it.
Really?
It's good, but I've also had to tell my employees not to. I'm like, you don't need to fill it up all the way because it's expensive to make, for one. But they just use a dab of it, so
right,
because it gets hot.
I did notice that there, the small portions. Yeah. I was kind of thinking, but then I noticed this in the bag, and I was like, okay, I'm covered, I'm good.
Right.
So who am I here with, and what business do you have? For those that have like no idea what we're talking about,
Steve at Taco Jed.
Awesome.
And Steve, I'm not Jed. Yeah, I'm not. Everybody thinks I'm Jed. I am not Jed. So.
And Taco Jed, for those that don't know, is a still, I would consider, newer business in town. How long have you actually been open?
Just been a little over a year.
Okay.
Opened October 4th, which happened to be National Taco Day, which I had no idea it was National Taco Day, but it's just fate. We opened up on National Taco Day. Yeah. It was kind of, I had no idea that it was the actual National Taco Day, but it was, so.
And for those,
and also I like it because it's 10-4. I'm from the 70s, you know, 10-4, good buddy. So.
There you go. For those that don't know, Taco Jet is located on South Broadway, kind of by Brothers Bar and Grill. That's a long-standing business.
Right by the pawn shop there, too, so.
And it was at one time, I think, part of the pawn shop business, the location that you're in now?
Like it was Payday America, yeah.
Okay.
And so when I toured, actually with Dylan from your offices, when I went through and looked at the space, they were in the back there where our garage door is and our bar now. My beard. That's where they had like excess inventory from the pawn shop was back there, and then the front they had Payday America up front. So
you had a vision at that point.
Yeah, when I saw it, I started to look at it and see the garage door and see how we could do that. I mean, it wasn't perfect. I mean, the bathrooms, we were kind of stuck with the bathrooms where they're at, which kind of it made it a little bit difficult to lay it out exactly how we maybe would have to have the bathrooms in a different spot when they're back there. So we couldn't separate that back area off and just run it as a bar at times, which I might have done if I'd have been able to do that. But because of code, I only have one exit back there. So
yeah, I just know that, like, looking at the way it's designed now and looking at what it was, because I was actually in the space prior. I know the building fairly well in the business that I'm in. We had taken different people through. I had no vision for that. And when I saw you putting in the patio and I remember walking by, it was a summer day, I believe, and just seeing that garage door go in, and I'm just like, that is flipping smart. Like, because I commend you in your vision and just designing a space.
Well, and that kind of came from my original restaurant that I had before. We did garage doors in that concept, and so I always liked the garage door. People just like the outdoors when it's nice. It's been Minnesota, we want to be outside and have that indoor-outdoor feeling, so it's really worked out well. So
where did the original kind of business mentality, the entrepreneurial spirit, come from? Like, when did you get into business?
Well, I originally got into the taco business back in 2010. Actually, it's coming up 10 years here in March, but I never was going to be in the taco. That was by chance. I wasn't a taco guy. I mean, I always did like tacos. We had a restaurant in my hometown called the Red Pepper that was kind of iconic and is still iconic there, but nothing like the food like this. And I ended up getting involved in, through commercial real estate I was in, getting involved with a guy down in Texas, and his name was Rusty Fenton, and we started a taco business called Rusty Taco down in Dallas in 2010. So that's how I ended up, because I went through the recession in commercial real estate back in 2008, 2009, and the company I was working with kind of took it on the chin, and so I was looking for something else to do and decided to give the restaurant business and the tacos a shot, because I went down there and tasted some of the tacos, and they were delicious. So.
And in commercial real estate, like, were you an actual agent, or like, what were you doing in commercial real estate?
Well, I was a director of business development. I think I was is my title, but we were a small company. We were doing we were buying tracts of land and doing mostly Walmart and Target center type centers, and then building strips, and then we were flipping them to REIT. Basically a Inland REIT, if you know who Inland is, out of Chicago, largest REIT in the country. And
they own the Chuck E. Cheese Center, or maybe they did at one time here in
town. The REITs are always looking to buy stuff, and so it was a good source for us to build them and flip them. Unfortunately, when this down cycle came in 2008, we were sitting on a lot of vacant ground, so we'd sold properties, and then we had bought properties, but non-asset producing properties that you're sitting on. And so when the retail market slowed down and people weren't doing development there for a while, as you probably remember, it was hard to the banks started to squeeze, and so that's what happened, and I changed careers.
When in that time period was it like, yes, I'm getting into the taco business? Like, was there one night where, you know, the—
Well, you know, this, I, and so, I mean, I didn't give you the whole story, but I had with my partner in business there, the guy that I was involved with, it was Cormac, was the name of the company. He and I were going to put a Trader Vic's. So we bought the franchise for Trader Vic's in Overland Park, Kansas. And I don't know if you know what Trader Vic's is. Everything's just Trader Joe's.
Yeah, right. It's like
Trader Vic's was the first kind of themed restaurant. Yeah, Trader Vic's was the first themed restaurant in the country. Started in the 30s, 40s by a guy out in San Francisco. And it was a tiki restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Right, where you'd come in, and his idea was, coming out of the Depression, was to bring these people into a Polynesian-type setting, get them out of their kind of rotten lives, and be able to go into a place and feel like you're in the South Pacific. And he invented the Mai Tai, and he had a Chinese oven. He'd cook this food, and they'd went into Hilton's, and they'd grown all over. Well, they're Hong Kong, Dubai, London. You know, I mean, if you've heard Werewolves of London, then the song at the end, it says going to Trader Vic's for a pina colada at the end of it.
Got it.
Beverly Hills, the Brat Pack used to go to Trader Vic's. Well, we were going to bring it back into Kansas City and Overland Park, this development called Corbin Park that we were doing there, and we were going to do that. Well, Trader Vic's people said, hey, you got to meet this guy in Dallas who's running the Trader Vic's down there. So I went down to Dallas to meet this fellow named Rusty Fenton, who was running the Trader Vic's at the time.
Yep.
And that's how I met him. And then when things were starting to go bad, he ended up leaving Trader Vic's, and him and I had become friends, and decided, he said, hey, come on down. I got this corner I think I can get control of. And we talked about other businesses and the taco business, and that's— I went down and looked at it, and I said, all right, let's do it. And we signed a lease before I'd even— I raised some money. I did a private equity fund, raised the money, and then away we went. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know what Rusty Taco is, that was and is a big company, right?
It's pretty good. I mean, there's 30, 35 stores around the country now. Rusty got cancer, diagnosed cancer about 2 weeks before we opened the first store. So unfortunately, we had grown. I ended up franchising up to Minnesota, up to Minneapolis, because I'm from North Dakota. So my roommate from college came down and saw the restaurant and loved it, and wanted to do a franchise in Minneapolis. And so he put together a group, and I said— went to Rusty, and I said, hey, I'm going to franchise this. And he said, go ahead. And so we did, and we worked together and franchised our first one up to Minneapolis, and it grew, and then we franchised them down in Texas, and then unfortunately Rusty died in June of 2013, and then I moved down, took it over, and ended up selling the brand, 80% of it, through our group Folks Gotta Eat to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay.
And then they moved me up here a little while later, and then Arby's came along and bought Buffalo Wild Wings, and basically they— well, Buffalo Wild Wings decided before they didn't need me around, and so I was then deciding what I was going to do, and that's how
back
I
out on
yeah.
the streets.
And I was and so I was looking at what I was going to do and trying to figure out how I was going to feed my family, and I decided to go back into the taco business after looking at a couple other things, and then I wanted to stay in Minnesota because my brother and sister both live in the cities.
Yep.
My parents live in Bemidji, and then I have a daughter who's in Omaha. one who goes to University of Nebraska in Lincoln, so I wasn't too far from them. And then my son was going to school at the time at Concordia St. Paul. So I looked at different markets in the cities, and I didn't want to go into Minneapolis because there's five or so Rusty Tacos up there, and I didn't want to intrude on those guys and just be fair to them and not you know, come in with a similar concept to them. But so I started looking at different markets, and I looked at Duluth, which I would have loved to live in Duluth. It's just that the economy is this there. St. Cloud, again, another good market, very spread out, however. So I didn't feel I could I couldn't find a spot there that I really was in love with. And then Mankato was just a little small, and then Rochester just stood hands above any other market I looked at as far as the economic stability here, which I had gone through obviously with my other career, the ups and downs of how the economy can affect you. And so when I did my research here, I went around and saw the other taco joints in town, and then I saw a lot of the mobile units I knew they liked tacos and stuff.
And there still is.
Yeah, there still is. And so there's some good tacos here in Rochester. I was surprised, but mine is a little different than any other stuff around here. And so I thought we had a little niche, and I had a good design team with my friend Brent McMahon from Dallas, who helped in the Rusty Taco. He helped me design it up here. And then my guy, Bruce Ringenberg, the guy from the original franchisee from Rusty Taco, also helped me with the build out. So
okay, as you were looking in Rochester, were you like camping out, watching traffic? Like, what's your way of figuring out Rochester?
Are
you like,
well, you know, I did, and I actually some of the things that dictated kind of our hours that we've done, and we've modified them a little bit. Is but yeah, I mean, my dad actually had to come down here, and Jed actually stands for. Jed stands for Joseph Edward Dunn, which is my dad, my grandpa, and my great-grandfather's initials. That's where the Jed comes from. Cool. And we just made up the Jed kind of guy, the hippie-looking kind of guy. So, but
because they were all hippies.
Yeah, exactly. That's why my mom said, well, that doesn't look like your dad. And I'm like, well, and it's not supposed to. But yeah, so we I was looking around. I looked at a bunch of different spots, and then he... At that point, I'd already selected that location. I liked it because of the proximity to downtown. I mean, Broadway was a river of cars there, you know, and so it's always, you know, anytime there's a bunch of cars going by, that's a good thing. It's a little bit back. It's the accessibility's a little goofy there, but it's still right on the, you know, right on Broadway, and Broadway's not going anywhere. So
yeah.
I really like that about the site. My dad had to come to the Mayo for I think it was his back. He had to come up here and have some tests done or something, and so I dropped him off really early in the morning one day, and I sat out there and I was drinking coffee in front of the site and just watching traffic like you talked about, and I just saw these cars going in, and I thought, we can sell breakfast tacos here. And so that's kind of how we did the breakfast. We were open at 6. Unfortunately, we didn't quite sell as many breakfast tacos as I'd hoped. People down in Texas, breakfast tacos is a staple. Here it hasn't quite caught on. Everybody calls them breakfast burritos, and I always breakfast tacos.
Yeah, right.
So we were still growing that side of the business. We were open at 8 now instead of at 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I felt kind of sorry for my guys having to come in at 5 in the morning in the middle of the winter. It's right. You know, it's like the Dunkin' Donuts guy. Got to make the donut, you know. Going in there to you know, cutting, you know, guacamole and, you know, avocados and cutting tomatoes and onions at 5 in the morning in the middle of the winter is tough. So.
Yeah.
So it's a little easier when
especially
it's
when you're not seeing a lot of customers.
Yeah, right, right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I was justifying it that we were doing prep, but we've got so efficient at our prep now that we can do it in a shorter period of time. We've expanded our breakfast menu too a little bit now. So
nice.
We have, you know, Huevos Rancheros now on there, and Migas, which is traditional Mexican dishes, along with our breakfast tacos and some American just regular American tacos or American breakfast as well too. So
nice. I feel like you've done a very nice job just watching from afar of getting involved in the community and like ingraining yourself as part of the community, right? And I think that's part of the draw of going to your business. And I was just in there getting chips and getting some food, and it's like families in there, and then there's two guys hanging out at the bar just having a beer, and like it's, you know, it feels that local spot, and it feels like you go in and you're kind of like, oh, who's in here today? Oh, hey, nice to see you. Nice to see you. It's that coffee shop,
yeah,
you know, yeah, feeling, but it's
well,
not.
That's one of the things I did do at the coffee shop when we did breakfast. I bought, first thing I did is I bought the Post Bulletin, right?
Yeah.
I wanted the Post Bulletin. Gotta have the paper when you're having breakfast tacos and drinking coffee in the morning. Well, I didn't realize it didn't come out till noon. Oh, yeah. But we still got it. We still got it. My nose is itchy. This is sorry. But the, yeah, so it is, yeah, it's, we want it to be a friendly, welcoming place to come. We get people from all walks of life. I mean, our motto is tacos unite people. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's welcome there. I mean, who doesn't love a taco? Everybody loves a taco. You can put anything on a taco. So we have a wide variety of different tacos that we have that we offer to customers, but we're always working on some new ones and that sort of thing as well. So, but yeah, it is. We try to make it very welcoming, very inviting. You know, we get... I had a couple in there just tonight before I came over here. You know, they've got to be in their 70s out on a, you know, evening out for their date. We have live music going on. We have a family with a couple kids, you know, there. We've got, you know, yeah, the guys sitting at the bar. You know, so it's yeah. I mean, we're wall to wall tonight, packed. But music was really good in there as well. So, but yeah, it's a nice place to hang out and relax. So
yeah, it's more than just the grab and go restaurant. It's not that, right? It's not the I grab my good food and I'm out.
Yeah,
it's
like, and that you know that's something that I've actually looked at from a business standpoint, because when you're a business person, you have limited seating and turning those tables, and so it's something that I've looked at and said, well, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice that a little bit because mm-hmm. I want it to be a place that you can that you feel comfortable in, and if you want to sit there and listen to the music and hang out, you're welcome to.
That's so. Neat. What has been some of your surprises just in the way that Rochester is, right? You know, it's like, what's been kind of eye-opening or just different?
Well, I mean you know that it's that the Mayo, you know, engine is here and it's always churning and the things, and it's just amazing to me. I mean, I have one of my Jetheads. So Jetheads is what our regulars are. They're a rewards program and they earn their hats. I just actually gave a hat away to a guy, Josh Johnson, today right before I came here. But they earn the hats. They can't buy them. But the minds that the people at Mayo, these guys that, I mean, I'm making tacos, okay? I mean, that I'm not a dumb guy, but these guys are smart.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this guy, his name, Andrew, Andrew Nelson.
Okay.
He works for Mayo. He's in research, and they were in celebrating their day. They discovered, they believe, a cure for pulmonary fibrosis, being able to reverse the effects of pulmonary fibrosis. And, I mean, he's explaining it to me, and I'm kind of sitting there going, you know. But
yeah,
I mean,
right.
Yeah, right over my head. And then, but I mean, but then also then getting to meet people from all over the world. And they're, you know, being in Rochester, they're not really excited to be here in Rochester because they're here because of medical reasons. But you meet some very, very nice people from around the world, actually. Mm-hmm. So,
which you may not get that same opportunity if you're sitting in Duluth. You know, nothing
right.
against Duluth. It's
right.
just that the way the market is, we have so many outsiders coming in and spending not just a day, not just
yeah.
2 days, but a long period
oh,
of
yeah.
time.
Yeah, many times months at a time. And we actually have a world atlas up there in the front. I have books from the national parks because Jed likes to go to the national parks. And as you, I think you're
right.
aware of that. And yeah, he likes to drive motorcycles. He got the motorcycle helmets. But I have a world atlas that my mom gave me in the restaurant. And I love to take it out when somebody, you know, I had somebody from... where were they from the other day? It was Venezuela. And we, you know, open, I'm like, well, I know where Venezuela is, kinda. You
I
know?
Wouldn't be able to
you
guess,
know,
right?
But I love to open it up and go, oh, well, here, well, I'm from here. Over here, this is where I'm from, or this is, you know, and just it's just getting to meet people and talk to people is one of the great things about what I do and what I get to do. So,
what has been different this time around in the way that you're doing things in your business versus how you've done things in the past? What would you say have been some of the differences you're incorporating?
Difference. Well, one thing is I have a taco truck that I'm starting to operate, which I'm just starting to do. I'm really starting to focus on catering as well. I think there's a huge opportunity in this market to help to cater. And the thing that's been great is people love they've loved Taco Jed here since I opened up. I'm always worried about the food, you know, because you don't always have control over the food, and you're trying to make sure you do it. We have a thing we call taco insurance that if, you know, I want you to try different tacos. If somebody's first time in there and they're trying to do the same taco, I always talk them out of it and say, try two different tacos. They all have different flavor profiles. If you don't like it, we'll give you another taco. You get taco insurance. So, you know, it's probably more with the employees than anything. The market here is very tight for employees. And there's a lot of good workers, but you have to try to take care of them. We try to create a family environment with the employees. I know the employees a lot more here than I did in the other restaurants. And I was more in the other restaurant. I was more on the just the ownership side and the business side of it versus the day-to-day operational side, where now I'm involved in both sides of the business. So
right.
So it's taking care of the employees. And you know, getting, you become part of their family. You spend a lot of time with you know, they do too. Spend a lot of time at your business, and so you get a personal relationship with them, and that's also been a really nice thing that's been different for me in the past.
Yeah, that's cool. And like you said, being a tight market, you really have to.
Yeah.
You have to. I want you to be a part of this team for a long period of time.
Right.
What can we do to make that happen?
Right, and we try to do it. I mean, it's not always money. I mean, you try to give them as you know, you want to. I mean, I always said, look, I don't need to, you know, money doesn't, for me, yeah, sure, do I need to make money? Yeah, I do. But also we want to share the wealth, if you will, if when we're successful, that other people can share in that as well. And let them have a good life as well. And so that's what we try to do is with them. If we can help them out, we help them out, and we get to know them personally, and
cool.
Yeah.
What about the collaboration with other businesses? I start to see this now more and more, not just your businesses, but are you collaborating, you know, more than you have?
I'm starting to more, you know, it's people have asked me, how do you like Rochester? How have you liked Rochester? And I said, well, Rochester's great, but I haven't really, the problem is I've been working for a year. I've been working pretty much every day in the business you know, I've had a GM I hired this summer, that so it's given me a little bit of time to spend without being in the restaurant, but I haven't had really much time to go out and
experience.
Enjoy and experience it. And you know, there's been a few things. I went camping at Whitewater, which was really cool. I'm like,
did you go up the fire?
Oh yeah, up
tower?
To Chimney Rock. I didn't go to the fire. I'd like to, but I went up to Chimney Rock. But it just, I mean, you're out in the middle of the farm ground, all of a sudden you drop in and you're in the Appalachian Mountains, you know? I mean,
right, yeah.
Yeah.
The icebergs went through there.
Well, it was
like,
just,
this happened.
Yeah, and the creek running, the trout creek running through there is beautiful. Walked out, owls in the trees. It's really, and it's 20, 25 minutes from here.
Right.
Yeah, so, and I've been down to took my daughter and her boyfriend down to the Niagara Cave when they were up here, so just some neat things here. And I haven't even really been to the Wisconsin side or over the Mississippi too much, but I know it's what I've seen is great. I love to hike and camp, and that's kind of how we got with the national park theme. Was I like to do that, and then some of the designs that are in the restaurant. Brent McMahon, who designed the restaurant, he did a lot of that stuff out in Big Bend National Park. He has a place out there, and he did a lot. He designed a lot of that stuff out in the park, and so that's where we kind of got into the national park thing from that. So
that's sweet. As you look to the future of how, you know, Taco Jed is just gonna exist and be in Rochester, what's the future look like? What are you excited for?
Well, you know, I'm excited for the taco truck, first of all, for the truck and how we implement that here and move it into different. I don't think it's going to be something where we're going to set it up at the same place every night. We've been doing a few of the events where we, you know, do with the breweries. We've done the Pride event. We did Shutdown in Winona, and it's all been great stuff. So I'm excited about that. People have said to me, you know, oh, we want you to go Northwest. Why don't you go Northwest? I don't know why. And this is just my own thinking. It seems like whenever you do one restaurant, the second one's never quite as good. I'm not saying it's, it just can't be like the first one.
Gotcha.
You know, oh, and solid. So it's hard to replicate that experience that you have there. I mean, the food can be, but the Taco Jet is more than just the food.
Yeah.
It's the whole experience that you have when you're there. You know, I love to take kids around and look at the national parks and the map and open the books and that sort of thing. It's more than just the food that you have there. It's the whole experience that you get when you come there. So, I don't know. I mean, I've thought about potentially another concept, a different,
because that's where my mind went when you started saying, you know, it's difficult to replicate it'd the be experience.
I've been leaning more towards if I did something, it'd be on a different different concept.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and when you were explaining that too, and I hadn't thought of this, but like my experience growing up when we went to the Mall of America was the Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah.
I remember my mom taking me there. Like dad was working, right? Yeah. And it's like we're going to the Rainforest Cafe. Yeah. And he really didn't want to go to the Mall of America. I didn't know that at the time. And that experience, like I could still hear the rain and like the thunder.
It was super cool.
And then it was like daytime, and then it was nighttime.
Yeah,
and like
it was
that
awesome.
Experience, and you can't get that experience at, you know, just down the road, down the corner.
Right,
you know, it's like, and so that experience is something you're creating.
Well, and I say that don't want to talk about competitors, but I say about other, I go, when's the last time you talked to the manager at Chipotle? When you sat down there, you know, here, I get to know my customers. I try to. Now I can't know everybody and I forget people's names quite a lot. So I have to ask them their names a lot of times, but it's a different experience, and that's the local business. That's the Rochester business that we try to be is part of the community. And that's where I've got involved in the chamber. I haven't, you know, the original question was, as I get off on tangents here, but was about being involved with other businesses. I haven't really quite done that, but I'm doing it with the breweries now.
Yeah.
We do serve local beers. One of the, you know, we serve all the, we have the any local, you know, anybody that'll sell me local beer, I'll put it on tap. So we have some great breweries in town. So it's I have Little Thistle and LTS and Kinney Creek all on tap. Then we also have Winona from Island City in Winona. We have them on tap, and then some other local Minnesota beers that we put on tap as well. So Stillwater with Lift Bridge, and we do Huey, which is a Lupulin out of Big Lake, Minnesota, and then of course Surly out of the city. So
nice, yeah, that's great. If you had to spend one day just not going to work, doing something.
Sleeping.
Not sleeping. What the heck would you be doing? What would Steve be doing?
If I could do it, I mean, and not have to worry about work,
yeah,
I'd be golfing.
Golfing,
I'd be playing golf, yeah.
All right. So for all those golfers out there, are you up for a challenge if they want
to
come in and challenge
you? Oh, I love it. I'm a little rusty, but the golfing's my, I mean, I found this Maple Valley track that we have.
Oh, that's a sweet course.
And you know what I mean? It's a course that it doesn't get that much play, but that could be, if they had the money to put into that course, it could be a championship course. The farmer who designed that course, there's a lot of little nuances in there that are just, it's a great layout. It really is. And it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, that it sits down a little, gets a little wet and that sort of thing. And of course you don't have the, you know, you can't keep it like Summer B. I got to play Summer B in the YMCA thing, which is a fabulous golf course. And I haven't played Bob Bender. I've asked him to play the Rochester Country Club. He hasn't taken me out there yet. But
so somebody else.
Yes, yeah.
Bob doesn't get to it first. Somebody else will.
But I got to play Summer B in the YMCA with John Duvall, and it was awesome. And I've played at Soldiers once in a while. And I played Eastwood as well. And what's the other one up north?
Northern,
yep.
Yeah, with Pine Trees.
Yep, I like Northern, yep.
Nice.
Northern's good. That's really happening. I want to play Cannon Falls. It looks like a nice course up on the, I see it when I drive by. It's about 45 minutes away, though. And I've also seen, like, Stuartville or Chatfield.
Oh, yeah, they all got it.
Yeah, I mean, right. I like playing those little courses once in a while. I just like to get out, and I just haven't had time to do it. I didn't get to play much golf, but My clubs are in the back of my car still. So.
There you go.
You always got to have them with you, right. Just in case. You know.
Yeah, right. You know, someone might invite you in the middle of December. Yeah, or else you just have to go.
Exactly.
That's sweet. I used to fish on Maple Valley Golf Course, and I think it was my mom would drop me off, and I would go sneak across the course and catch smallmouth bass. And
yeah, it's beautiful, that creek beautiful. Running through there. Yeah, I mean, it's, and then once in a while, you have eagles flying above you, and it's just, I mean, I'm like, what? Yeah, I mean, it's just, and the people are very nice out there, and it's a challenging golf course, and a little bit of the condition makes it a little more difficult than it could be, but when he designed that course, he put some thought into it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of nuances that you have to deal with on that course if you're paying attention.
Hmm. If people haven't been to Taco Jed, what should they try? What would be the go-to?
Well, so I always say my go-to taco is the Picadillo, which is our number one. It's the taco that got me into the taco business. Rusty, when he was talking to me about start going into the business down in Dallas, took me to a place called Fuel City, which is near downtown Dallas. We remember when Kennedy got shot and he went under the bridge there. Mm-hmm. Well, on the other side of that over there is where the jail is, the Dallas County Jail, and there's some bail bonds places and stuff. And there's a gas station called Fuel City. And they have a little bit bigger than this room, but not much. And they had these three Hispanic ladies in there that were slinging out tacos. And I tried the Picadillo taco there and fell in love with it and said, I'm in. And so that's how I got in business. And so that taco is similar to that on our menu. And I like to do it Lebowski style, which is, if you've ever seen The Big Lebowski, yep. He lost the rug and he likes to, the rug tied the room together. So we add queso to it and really ties the taco together. So, nice. So that's my go-to. Now, the one that's been kind of the star on the menu is the Flower Child, which my chef, Leo Anderson, who has a restaurant called Tongue in Cheek up in St. Paul.
Okay.
He came to me with that taco, and it's cauliflower. It's a cauliflower taco. And I said, you're out of your mind. I'm like, a cauliflower? Nobody's going to eat cauliflower. And he said, taste it. And we have pickled onions, which we pickle right in-house, and a spicy aioli on it, and it's fabulous. It's a wonderful taco. We've added actually the tree hugger, which we call the stepchild of the flower child, which is broccoli and avocado in it now. And so, but it's a delicious taco, vegetarian. And we're going to have vegan here soon. We're going to have a vegan taco with it that we can have as well. The other thing is, and I don't like to mention this, but I will. The American taco, the number two taco on the menu, is our number one seller.
Hmm.
And we put that on the menu because, especially Minnesotans, they get up there and they look at the menu and they go, I don't know what to order. I don't know, you know. And so the American is what Americans know as a taco. It's a flour tortilla that we deep fry, and then it has spicy ground beef in it with lettuce, tomatoes, and cheese, and then a crema sauce on it. So it's like a taco that you would get at a, you know, supposedly at a taco shop, and
yeah.
Taco John's, if you will.
There you go.
And it's a lot better. It's really good, and people love the taco, and it's been a good taco for us.
It's because they see American, they're like, okay, everything else sounds spicy.
Right, right.
I'm sticking with that one.
Yep, exactly. So.
Awesome. And what are your hours, and when
we
should
are,
they
well,
be
we're
stopped?
Open 7 days a week. We're open 7 days a week. We open at 8 o'clock in the morning. We open from 8 to 9. Every day except Sunday, we close at 7. So, eight to seven on Sundays. Otherwise, 8 to 9 every day. And we have live music on Fridays and Saturdays. We've been doing it on Sundays occasionally, depending on if the Vikings are playing or not.
It affects the business.
It
right?
does. When the Vikings are playing, people want to watch the game. They don't want to listen to music, and so we've been doing the Vikings. We're doing vinyl Wednesdays too, where we're spinning up vinyls. On Wednesday, we've got drink specials, 3 happy hours every day. So we get the 8 o'clock in the morning till 10. We have a happy hour for the nurses that come in off their shift at night and want to have a cocktail before they go home. And then we have one at three to five, and then 7 to 9 every day. So
there you go. All right. So thank you for joining me on the Office of China Hall podcast, Steve.
It's my pleasure.
A blast. I look forward to seeing all the things you're up to here in Rochester. And thank you for what you're doing here
in
Rochester.
Thank you, Bucky. Too. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Bye-bye.